Welcome to Global River Church's Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For more information about this podcast and additional resources, please visit globalriver.org.
A few months ago, I had the privilege of being able to speak with you about the beauty of Jesus and why we should minister to him. Today, I want to talk to you about the cross, and I want to talk to you about the Lamb who was slain. I want to have a conversation with you today about your soul. Let us pray. Wonderful Holy Spirit, you are the one who reveals Jesus to us. Your work is the work of illumination, so reveal Jesus to us today, Lord. Reveal the power of the cross. Lord, as I speak, everybody under the sound of my voice, Lord, that the weight of your glory, the weight of your presence would fall down today, Jesus. Lord, it is not my words, but your words. Fill my lungs. Fill my lungs with your breath and guide me as I speak about you and the most important moment in all of history. Let the weight of your presence, let the weight of your presence break at the hardest of hearts today. And let the people in this room come to find you as their limitless hope. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We need to behold the cross again. We need to behold the cross again, friends. We need to come under the shadow of the cross. It is good to be in the shadow of the cross. It is good. It is good for us to hide in the shadow of the cross of Christ. So let the blood of Jesus become your covering today. Today I want to celebrate the cross with you. I thank God for the cross. The implications of the cross, it cannot be ignored. I want to talk to you about the cross today because I believe that very little matters besides the cross of Christ. I'm heartbroken every time I see the cross dismissed and worse, abandoned. I want to talk to you and celebrate the cross today so that your love and worship of Jesus Christ would increase. And if anyone under the sound of my voice doesn't know Jesus, that they would pick up their cross and follow him. In Leviticus, the Lord says, "Life is in the blood, and I have given to you it to make atonement for your souls." See, the cross is the centerpiece of Jesus' work in history, and on it he came to bleed. That is why I want to talk to you about the cross. Jesus came to earth as a baby. He was fully God. He was still divine, but the Bible emphasizes his humanity. It emphasizes his humanity. He lived his life, yes, as an example to his followers, but he also lived his life in preparation to die on the cross. Let that sink in. The cross of Christ brings forgiveness for our sins. Because unlike Jesus, we are not blameless, we are not spotless. Now, without the cross. We are a sinful, wicked people that need the blood that was shed on the cross. We are only justified because of the cross of Christ. Yes? We are only justified because of the cross of Christ. How do you know that God is good? How do you know that He loves you? Seriously, how do you know? The cross. Without the cross, how would we know? We know because of the cross. The cross is where God demonstrated His love for us. It does not reject the love of God. Now, the cross does not reject the love of God, but rather it reveals it. Jesus Himself said what? He said, there is no greater love for a man to lay down his life for another. It is at the cross that the love of God for us is most clearly seen. You know the verse, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Thank You for the cross, Lord. Thank You for the cross. The depth of our sin and the depth of God's love cannot be known without the cross. And because of the cross, it is fully known. Sin is unnatural for the saint. It is unnatural. We were not made to be sinners. It kills us and it robs us. And it robs us of seeing the beauty in creation and seeing the beautiful Creator. Sin affects both God and the sinner. But it is only through the cross that both are simultaneously served. Thank You for the cross, Lord. Thank You for the cross. And the cross has its power because of the resurrection of Christ. If He did not die and come out of the grave, that would have meant that the Father would not have been pleased, and the cross wouldn't be the centerpiece of history. But He is alive. And the bill is paid in full. And Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. And because of that, the cross should be our focus. The cross should be our focus. We must behold the cross again. If you want to see the church unified again, we must unify around the cross. The ancient church of Israel gathered around the Lord, where He was in the midst of a cloud. And there were three tribes to the east, three tribes to the west, and to the south, and to the north, in the shape of what? A cross. The cross of Christ unified every tribe, and it can unify every people. We must unify around the cross. Jesus must be our definition of unity. Jesus. Jesus was born of a virgin teen mother over 2,000 years ago. He spent much of the first 30 years of his life swinging a hammer in obscurity with his father, his adopted father, Joseph. At about the round the age of 30, Jesus began his public ministry. He would make disciples. He would heal the sick. He would feed the hungry. He would befriend sinners. He taught truth, and he taught us how to live. Yes. And for those 3 years, he did his ministry as well as anybody could before he would die by shameful crucifixion. Scripture emphasizes the final week leading up to Jesus' death on the cross. In fact, roughly around one-third of all of the Gospels put together is about the final week of Jesus' life. The Gospel of John, roughly half of it, is about that final week. When the Lord spends much time on something, it's because he is emphasizing it. And if he is emphasizing something, you better pay attention. Amen. The ancient historian Josephus called crucifixion the most wretched of deaths. Even in Deuteronomy, the Bible says that a hanged man on a tree is cursed by God. Death on the cross was a long, painful death. It was death by asphyxiation. You'd fall, you couldn't breathe, and you'd try to lift yourself up to get a breath. But it was also shameful. The Romans perfected crucifixion. And they would also often crucify people in public places, so people would come around and mock them. And Lance, you say, I want to celebrate the cross. But you're telling me how terrible it is. It's because Jesus died for our sins in accordance to the scriptures. He was buried and he was raised again on the third day in accordance to the scriptures. Because it's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ that is the most important event of history. Yeah. It is. And Jesus did not die to help our sins. He died because of our sins. From the very beginning of time, the penalty of sin was death. If you sin, then you should die. But it is the sinless one who died in our place. The sinless, holy one who died in our place. I celebrate the cross because that's where Jesus took on the penalty for our sins. In love, he laid down his life for us. In love, he laid down his life for us. That's why I celebrate the cross, and that's why I encourage you to come and celebrate it too. Because in love, he died for you. It is because of the cross that the relationship between God and man are restored. We cannot look away from the cross. We must not. We are a forgetful people. We are a forgetful people. You've heard the phrase, out of sight, out of mind. What should be in the sight? We cannot let the cross leave our sight. We were created to commune with God and glorify him sinlessly. Yet we look away from the cross of God. And we look for pleasures every other place. But the cross of God, and we sin over and over again. But yet, Jesus made a way. He made a way on the cross. And Scripture emphasizes the atonement that he made on the cross was for our sins. In Isaiah 53, it says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. Later on, it says he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many, and he makes intercession for the transgressors. Romans, it says, he was delivered up for our trespasses. It also says, but God shows his love for us, that in while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, in place of us. Christ died for our sins, in place of the penalty that we deserved. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. In 1 Peter, he says, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. The human problem is sin, and no one in this room is exempt for it. But the divine motivation of the Father is a holy love represented by the death of his Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. The divine love of the Father is his Son dying on the cross. I am so thankful we have a cross in this room so that we can focus on Jesus. That is why Christianity is based on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus on the cross. He was tortured. He was tortured leading up to his death. And he was made to carry the instrument of his death. And he was lifted up in the air on a tree at Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Why is that important? Because way back in Genesis 3, God told Satan, the serpent, that the offspring of Adam, Jesus, would bruise his head, would bruise his skull with his heel. And you fast forward to Golgotha, the place of the skull. Jesus ascended the throne of the cross, and his name was written above it. Jesus, the King of the Jews. God redefined what royalty looks like as Jesus reigns from a tree. Spend some time talking about some of the things that Jesus said while he was suffering on the cross. But even then, it's important to know what he did not say. Jesus did not defend himself on the cross against his mockers. The Bible calls Jesus the Lamb of God. And the Bible teaches us about a lamb being gentle and kind and quiet, as Jesus was when he was put up on the cross. In Isaiah 53:7, it says, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, like a sheep that is before its shears, is silent, he opened not his mouth. He did not declare his innocence, even though he was the innocent one. The first thing that we see Jesus say on the cross is, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Jesus' first words hanging on the cross was a word of forgiveness. For the people, the very people who were actively murdering him. He knew that in a moment that he would die and atone for the whole world's sins, including them. And he forgave them. These words reveal the utter selflessness of Jesus. His devotion to saving even the worst of sinners was absolutely unbreakable. The second thing he says to the man being crucified beside him, he says, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is a word of salvation. This is a word of salvation. Jesus was about to die for this man's sins, and in doing so, he would open up heaven for those that were like him, who would believe and trust on Jesus. But I tell you, with a heavy heart, there were two thieves on crosses next to Jesus, one on his left and one on his right. One would reject him and deny him, and one would accept him and declare his innocence. And even today, there are two types of people who will come under the shadow of the cross. One who thinks that Jesus is guilty, and one who knows that they are guilty. One who thinks he needs not the Christ, and one who knows without a shadow of a doubt they need nothing but the Christ. The third thing that Jesus would say on the cross was, "Woman, behold your son, and behold your mother." This was a word of compassion. Jesus looked down and saw his own mother witnessing his death, the most wretched of deaths. He saw his own mother witnessing his death, and he had compassion on her. And he appointed his friend to look after his mother and take care of her. At this point on the cross, Jesus had not spoken of his own needs. Instead, the things that he said, the first things that he said while dying on the cross, were for murderers, thieves, and his mother. The fourth thing Jesus said on the cross was, "I thirst." Showing that although he was God, he was also fully human, and he suffered as a human suffered. He did not take a shortcut. He did not take a shortcut. The Pharisees would mock him and say, "If you are the God, come up off that cross." But he did not, because he knew that was the way to atonement. Ironically, the God who made water desperately needed a cup of it, and he was denied it. The fifth thing that Jesus said on the cross was, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Harking back to the words of David in the Psalms. Ever a teacher. This is the moment that Jesus' communion with God the Father and God the Spirit was severed, and they had to turn their backs on him. This was the moment. This should let it ring true, Lord. This is the moment that our sin was poured out upon him. That our sin was laid upon him. This is where he died spiritually. And this is also where 3 hours of darkness fell upon the world. Why, you ask, Lance, why did 3 hours fall upon the world? Because if men were not to mourn him, then God made sure creation did. This is when Jesus became the worst of the worst. This is when he became a murderer, a thief, a rapist. Jesus became that. He became the worst of the worst. Think of the worst. And it was him. In that moment, the most beautiful thing in creation became the most disgusting thing. You see, the cross wasn't just a transaction. The Bible tells us that he actually took to himself our sin with all of its shame and horror. the most beautiful one became the most wretched one. This is when Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming cursed. What a price that was paid, church. What a price that was paid. The sixth thing that Jesus would say on the cross is, "It is finished." It was at this moment that the price of sin was paid for. And the holiness and the righteousness and the justice of God was satisfied at the cross at this moment. Listen to me. Jesus fully secured our salvation at the cross. He did not go to hell and suffer for another 3 days. He secured it on the cross, and his suffering ended at the cross. You don't have to make yourself better to come to Jesus. Because again, the bill is paid in full. What can you not do with a bill that's paid in full? Pay more on it. Once it's paid, it's paid. The final thing that Jesus would say on the cross was, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Jesus reserved his final breath, his final statement, to confirm that he had been restored to God the Father after dying for our sins, after atoning for our sins. And then he died triumphantly. Triumphantly on the cross he died. Before the cross of Christ, the most sacred place in all of earth was the temple where the presence of the Lord dwelled. Behind a curtain, a veil. And when he died, the veil was torn in two from top to bottom, signifying that the presence of the Lord is welcomed into our hearts. Signifying that because of the cross of Christ, God had opened his presence back up to the world. And at the very same time that this happened, the earth quaked and the rocks split at the sight of the cross. What a God we serve that even the rocks know when to honor him. What a God we serve that even the rocks know when to honor him. Jesus died in poverty. However, in fulfillment of the scripture that said he would be laid up with the rich, a rich man would petition for his body and then place it in his own tomb. So that Jesus was laid up with the rich. Jesus would then rise again on the third day, proving that he had won against Satan, sin, and death. Just as he promised he would. Jesus' resurrection following the cross was proof that the Father was satisfied in the payment. When he came back to life, he would remove his own bandages, move the rock that sealed the tomb, walk past the guards still bearing the scars he received. Still bearing the scars of the cross. And he would stay on the earth for the next 40 days, often appearing to people, sometimes many, proving that he was, in fact, the Son of God. Before Jesus ascended back into heaven, in his human body, there's a fleshly God sitting on a throne today. He is fully human and fully God. He promised us a helper. The Holy Spirit, the very empowerment of God. In the first pages of the books of Acts, talks about it. The day of Pentecost, a very special day in Jewish tradition, where the Holy Spirit came with supernatural power and thousands were converted to Jesus in a single day. And the flame of Pentecost has continued to burn brightly ever since then, because there are many people who have realized that Jesus died for my sins. That Jesus died on the cross for my sins. My prayer, church, is that we gather as a people who were purchased by Jesus at the cross. I pray that we faithfully preach the gospel of Jesus like Paul does in 1 Corinthians, nothing but the cross and the crucifixion of Christ. I pray that we are not ashamed in the cross of Christ, but rather we boast in it. I pray that our greatest fear would be that we would be hypocrites and enemies of the cross. I pray that we live out our days as saints, being a witness to what Jesus did on the cross for all sinners. All sinners. Jesus doesn't see a party line. He sees us all as sinners that he rescued. He paid the price for each one. John 1:29, from the words of the great forerunner, John the Baptist. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He would later go on to say, he must increase, but I must decrease. He must increase, but I must decrease. We need to go lower, church. We need to go lower. We need to bless those who mock us. We need to bless those who curse us. We need to wash feet. We need to go lower. In Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Thank you, Lord, for the cross. I find it interesting that Jesus' first introduction as Lord to the public was when John called him the Lamb of God. The language that John is using doesn't speak nearly to a kind and quiet lamb. When John mentions the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, he is saying, here is the one I have gone before my entire life. And now he comes to die and rescue people. He will rescue them by laying down his life. The Lamb comes to bleed and die on the altar of the cross. Again, the Lord says, it is by the blood that he has given to us for atonement. Either the blood washes you, or you're guilty of the blood. We have to look at the cross. We have to look at the blood of Jesus and let that be our covering and let it wash us. Jesus' death on the cross is the main thing we must focus on. We don't come to Jesus to get to somewhere else. We come to the cross to get to Jesus. A hero of mine once said, we don't come to Jesus to get to revival because that would make revival the goal and Jesus the bridge. Jesus is revival. Jesus is revival. The cross of Christ cannot be a piece of the pie. We cannot be a people who live out our lives for our own satisfaction, and then once every now and then sprinkle a little bit of the cross on top and say that we're Christians. No, Ephesians says he is the all in all. The all in all. He is our everything. It was settled on the cross, so we must look at the cross. Jesus says in Revelation that I am the Amen. I love that. I've said it before. He said, I am the Amen. That means he himself settled the score on the cross. He himself settled the score on the cross. That means Jesus himself is the answer to every prayer. Hallelujah. I pray weekly that we would see him rightly. I really do. I really do. And I pray that for myself. We means me included. That we would see him rightly. And if we listen and we read our word, we will see it. The Bible is full of the testimony of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit's ministry for the believer is to reveal more Jesus. It's to reveal more Jesus. Jesus said when he was talking about the Holy Spirit, he will speak of me, he will not speak of his own. And the Father loves to talk about his Son. He is not ashamed to talk about his Son. That is why he has seated him above out high, and his name is the name above every other name. Bless you, Jesus. I once heard a friend say that the cross is the doorway we must pass through to get to a better life, and it broke my heart. The cross isn't a doorway to a better life. The cross is meant to kill you. The cross is meant to kill you. It is meant to kill you so that you can be raised with Christ. Church, I love the gifts of the Spirit. I love Jesus. I love the prophetic. I love it. I love when Jesus speaks to his people through a prophet. I really do. But I want to hear about Jesus. I want to hear about Jesus. We need to examine what it is that we're looking for. Are you looking for a prophetic word, or are you looking for Jesus? I'm going to challenge you. If you didn't hear about Jesus, it wasn't prophetic. I've been doing this a long time. If you didn't hear about the death of Jesus on the cross, his burial and his resurrection, it wasn't the gospel. The Bible tells us that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. That means that all genuine prophetic revelation is rooted in Jesus. The truth of any prophetic message is measured by how much it exalts Jesus. If you receive a prophetic message, this is just for you, this is free. If you receive a prophetic message and it doesn't exalt Jesus, it's not for you. What is at the center of the testimony of Jesus? The cross. I'm gonna keep saying this because it worries me sometimes. When we keep looking to the gifts of Jesus' hands that are in his hands instead of the gift that is Jesus' hands. That worries me. And I pray that we stop looking for the gifts in his hands because he will freely give them. He will. But we need to come looking for him. We need to come looking. Sometimes I see the same people coming to the altar weekly instead of letting the blood of the cross wash over them. They come looking for a gift instead of looking for their Savior. You want to see a great move of God? It happens at the cross. That is where we see his beauty. The cross. The cross isn't just an accomplishment, it's the greatest revelation of who our God is. Jesus said, when you see the Son of Man lifted up, you will know that I am he, speaking of the one who is the Messiah, him, he. And he was saying, I will be lifted up in the sky on a cross, on a tree. And you will know that I am the Son of God, that I am God. He later says, when I'm lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself. He's drawing you to his cross today. He's drawing you to him today. When John in Revelation said that he saw a lamb as though as it was slain, he saw the cross. We need to get back to Christ crucified. There is a difference between coming to church and coming to the cross. There is nothing like meeting Jesus at the cross. There is nothing. Take it from one who knows. There is nothing like meeting him there. You know, in Revelation, in that same place where he says he saw the Lamb of God as it was slain, or a lamb as it was slain, it tells us that there was not anyone on earth or anyone in heaven that could break the seals and open the scrolls. And John the Revelator, who wrote Revelation, cried, he wept loudly, because there was no one that could open the scroll. All the combined power of all the saints and all the angels, no one could open the scroll. And he wept. He wept. He was heartbroken. But there is one worthy. There is one who overcame. There is one they call the Lion. You know it. There's one they call the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And they tell John, weep no more, for it's the root of Jesse, or the root of David that is conquered, who can open the seals and break the scroll. Will break the seals and open the scroll. And John looks, expecting to see this lion. He sees a lamb as though it was slain. He sees Jesus on the cross. He sees Jesus on the cross. You want to know what it looks like to conquer? You want to know what it looks like to be free? Embrace the Lamb. Embrace the Lamb of God. Open the eyes of your people today, Lord, to behold the slain and risen lamb, so that many could let go of themselves. Even the ones who are listening on live stream. Let your power begin to come upon your people, Lord. Let the heavy weight of your presence come and break every yoke and reveal the beauty of your passion. Let them see your holy face that was brutalized and spat upon. Let them see your holy hands that were nailed to the cross. Let them see your back with many stripes that was plowed through. Let them see your feet that carried you to many places all over the Holy Land. Let them see your feet, Lord Jesus. Your feet that carried you up mountain and down valley and on waters, and feet that carried you where you went and told the storm to stop. Your feet that carried you to the hungry. Your feet that carried you to the sick where you healed them, that carried you to the dead and you raised them. Let them see your feet that were nailed to the cross. Let them see your side that was pierced with a lance. So that you could open up a doorway to your heart again. We want to hear your heart, Lord. We want to hear your heart, Lord. And you say, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. With these scars on your blessed body, he says, I will give rest for your souls. He says, learn of me, for I am lowly and meek. Kyle, if you could come give me some help up here. Thank you, Lou. Today is the day of redemption. Today is the day that you can look of the shed blood of Jesus on the cross. It is the day that addictions can die. It is day where blindness can be healed. He can remove the scales from your eyes. Today is the day where chaos can die, where the darkness over the face of your heart can be removed, and in place of it, the Holy Spirit will fill its depths with light. Today is the day. Feel your presence, Lord Jesus. All you have to do is reach out to Jesus. All you have to do is reach out to Jesus. Have you had an encounter with him at the cross? Do you belong to him? Are you free from sin? The point of the cross is so that you can be set free. That's the point of the cross. Friends, the stakes are high. The stakes are so high right now. The stakes for your whole soul. I beg that you don't play games with your soul. Don't play games with your soul. I'm begging you. Life is but a vapor. Jesus said, what does it profit a man to gain the world but lose his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? We're not, there's no Wells Fargo truck following a hearse. No amount of success is going to get you into heaven. No amount of good deeds will make up for your sin, because the penalty of sin is death. And it was paid for on the cross. If you are here today and you don't know Jesus, or if you haven't met him at the cross, I speak and I beg that you come to him today. I beg that you come to him today. You guys can just start to play a little bit. Thank you. Jesus heals, and he reveals himself at the cross. And I fully believe if you come to the cross and you look at the stripes on his back, you will be healed. I believe that if everyone in this room would come to the cross and behold Jesus today, that every addiction in this room will die. We must look at the cross. There is no anger or unforgiveness in your soul, in your heart, that the cross of Christ cannot set you free from. He is the great deliverer. Aren't you tired of warring over and over again, fighting the same fight over and over again and losing to your sin? Are you weary yet? Are you not sick of the shame? Come to the tree today and choose the heart of the thief who said, this is an innocent man who is perfect, and I believe and trust in him. There is no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus. He is in the room with us right now, and there is nothing else worth thinking about than the man who is in the room right now. He is the one who died and is alive forevermore. How close to Jesus are you today? The cross wants to kill you, and you should let it so that you can be resurrected with Jesus. The very same hands that nailed the stars to the sky, those hands were nailed to the cross so that you could live. He doesn't repair us, he resurrects us. He doesn't want to make you better, he wants to raise you from the dead. He is the one who conquered death and triumphed over death by death. And in doing so, he has delivered us from the fear of death. It would be such a tragedy to walk away today from the presence of the one who took your sins when you could give him everything. Don't let the fear of others into your soul. Don't let the stubbornness of your soul pin you to this world. This world will rob from you, it will take from you, it will use you, and it will leave you with nothing. Come to the cross. He loves you so much. Maybe you're sitting in your seat and you're saying, I don't love Jesus the way I used to. I want to come back to my first love. I want to come back to that passion for Jesus I once had. Holy Spirit. If you want to know Jesus or you want to know him like you used to again, I want you to raise your hand. Don't be afraid. Be bold. Because the Lord says, if you confess me in front of men, I will confess you in front of my Father. But if you deny me in front of men, I will deny you in front of my Father. If you want to know Jesus, come. Put up your hand. I want to know him more. I think everybody in this room should have their hands up because I want to know him more. I want to know him more. Come to the cross. Come to the cross. The Bible tells us to make your election sure. Are you sure today? Are you sure today? I know it's running late. I want to do something a little different. I want everybody to come into the altar right now. If you can stand, please come to the altar. Because we're going to pray for each other. We're going to pray for each other. We're going to pray that every person in here runs the race well. We're going to pray together. Go ahead and start praying for each other out loud. Out loud. Pray for each other. This is a holy moment. Pray for each other. Pray that we will never look away from the cross, that we will always return to the cross of Christ. Pray for each other. Pray for their families. Pray for their children. Pray for them. Pray that we will all see the beauty of Christ. This is a beautiful moment. Jesus. Jesus. Lord, we just thank you for every generation that even in the moment, even today, Lord, even today, that the history of a line could be changed. We thank you for healing, Lord, as we behold your cross. We thank you, Lord. Pray for each other. If you don't know what to pray for them, say the name of Jesus over them. Just say the name of Jesus. The Bible says that his name is like an ointment poured out. His name is like an ointment poured forth. He heals with his ointment. Pray for him. Pray that they would be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. That they would have the power to walk this life out because we can't do it without him. Pray for each other. Pray for your friends. Pray for your family. Pray for this church and the next generation that's over there that will take over. Because they will be taking over. They are the future of our church. They are the future of the church. Pray for each other. We bless you, Lord. You are holy. We ask that you do these things in your holy name because of the cross of Christ. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Let the weight of your glory fall. Let the weight of your glory fall, Jesus. And break every rocky heart and soften the hearts today, Lord. We want to feel your presence, Lord Jesus. I feel. We want to know you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Speak healing to their bodies today, Lord Jesus. I speak healing to the bodies of everyone in here who is suffering today, Lord. Touch them, Lord, where they are at the cross and heal them, Lord Jesus. Move in power. Holy Spirit. Thank you for revealing Jesus to us. Thank you for revealing Jesus to us. Jesus. Holy Spirit. Oh, precious Jesus who died. Amen.
We hope you are blessed by this message. We encourage you to tune in wherever you get your podcasts, and we invite you to come as you are and join us at Global River Church, Sundays at 10 a.m., Wednesdays at 6:30. Grace be with you in Jesus' name.